the nuclear program is the only surviving strategy for North Korea.
North Korea hacks its way to millions. It's Thursday, February 11th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Follow us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, protests continue amid Myanmar crackdown. Donald Trump impeachment trial is underway. Pacific Islands are upset. It's all on today's VOA Asia. A United Nations report says North Korea has used cyber attacks to steal hundreds of millions of dollars to fund its nuclear program and ballistic missile capabilities. Henry Ridgewell has more.
The leaked United Nations report says North Korea managed to bolster both its nuclear and missile programs in 2020, despite being subject to a raft of international sanctions. It highlights new ballistic missiles that have been on display in recent parades, which the report says could be large enough to carry nuclear warheads and put the entire United States in range. Pyongyang boasted in January of developing what it claimed to be the world's most powerful weapon, a submarine-launched ballistic missile. The report says North Korea financed the military expansion with $300 million stolen through cyber hacks and online fraud. Sojin Lim is a Korea analyst at the University of Central Lancashire in Britain.
The nuclear program is the only surviving strategy for North Korea, especially for Kim's family's the regime survival. And recently, because of the COVID-19 situation, their economic situation has become even worse. And especially with the new administration in the States, with Biden, the new President Biden, the North Korea has no other way to discuss, to negotiate with the America.
The report was written by independent monitors for the UN Security Council's North Korea Sanctions Committee and leaked to Reuters Tuesday. North Korea is subject to a range of multilateral and unilateral sanctions, but they have not worked, argues Lim.
North Korea has been successful in finding new ways to mobilizing finance. And, you know, this cyber attack with this amount of its loss of money, then that makes me even convinced that sanctions do not work, and we really need to find out new frame to approach to North Korea now.
In the past decade, North Korea has conducted a series of missile and nuclear tests of escalating size. Former US President Donald Trump met North Korean leader Kim Jong-un three times in 2018 and 2019, but the negotiations failed to persuade Pyongyang to give up its nuclear weapons. The new administration under President Joe Biden is working on a new approach. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan spoke to reporters February 4th.
That review is underway and that we will consult closely with our allies, particularly the ROK in Japan, in doing that.
Despite the U.S. pledge of a new approach to Pyongyang, most experts see little hope of imminent progress towards denuclearization of the Korea Peninsula. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News.
You may find much more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia. And stop by our website, voanews.com. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. South Korea grants emergency use of controversial AstraZeneca vaccine. Four Thai activists denied bail ahead of next month's trial. Pakistan's top court commutes death sentences of two mentally ill prisoners. China uses rape as torture tactic against Uyghur detainees, according to victims. China records fewer births in 2020 than the previous year. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by our voanews.com website. Demonstrations continued for a fifth straight day as Myanmar's police cracked down on people protesting the country's military coup in the capital, Naypyidaw. They fired warning shots, rubber bullets, and water cannon. At least two demonstrators are reported seriously injured with what are believed to be gunshot wounds. VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain tells us more.
Demonstrators took to the streets in Myanmar's capital for the fourth day in a row, defying restrictions imposed by the military junta aimed at stopping massive protests against the overthrow of the elected civilian government, including leader Aung San Suu Kyi. An unnamed physician who treated demonstrators at a hospital told VOA that at least two of them sustained what he believes were gunshot wounds, one to the head, the other to the chest. State Department spokesperson Ned Price again called on the military junta in the country formerly known as Burma to relinquish power and respect the rights of peaceful protesters.
What I would say broadly is that we strongly condemn violence against demonstrators. All individuals in Burma have rights to freedom of expression, association, peaceful assembly, including for the purposes of peaceful protest.
The massive protests defying restrictions are in line with one analyst's expectations.
But in terms of the Myanmar people's sort of spirit and desire to not have this military coup and to have some restoration of democracy, no, I'm not surprised.
Other experts say there is little that the United States can do to influence Myanmar's generals because the head of the junta, Min Aung Hlaing, is already under U.S. sanctions.
He was sanctioned under the Global Magnitsky Act along with other senior generals in 2019 for their ethnic cleansing campaign against the Rohingya. So how do you sanction somebody who's already banned from owning property in the U.S., traveling to the U.S., or doing business with Americans?
Experts say with so little leverage on Myanmar, the best option for the U.S. is to work closely with other countries.
So the U.S. will be wanting to work with democracies in Europe, Canada, Japan, maybe some of the Southeast Asian countries like Singapore, Indonesia, with India also. So there's definitely going to be a need for multilateralism here because there's no way the U.S. can really affect much policy change in Myanmar by itself.
The State Department's Ned Price said Myanmar has been a constant topic in America's engagement with allies around the world this week. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Indonesian investigators say a malfunctioning automatic throttle may have caused the pilots of the Sriwijaya Air jet to lose control, leading to the Boeing plane's plunge into the Java Sea last month. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The historic second impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump began in the U.S. Senate on Tuesday, and it continues as we speak. Senators will have to decide if Trump incited the deadly insurrection at the U.S. Capitol a month ago by urging his supporters to confront lawmakers as they were certifying that Democrat Joe Biden had defeated Trump in the 2020 election. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more on the trial taking place on Capitol Hill.
Last month's deadly riot at the U.S. Capitol now leading to a first in U.S. history. A former president under trial in the U.S. Senate.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye.
Trump charged with inciting that mob to riot.
When you catch somebody in a fraud, you're allowed to go by very different rules.
After falsely claiming he won the 2020 election and telling his supporters to fight the certification of Electoral College results for Joe Biden.
The gravest charges ever brought against a president of the United States in American history.
More than 200 people have now been charged in connection with the January 6 riot. A day lawmakers warned will be an inspiration for domestic extremism and presidential abuse of power.
This cannot be the future of America. We cannot have presidents inciting and mobilizing mob violence against our government and our institutions because they refuse to accept the will of the people.
The U.S. National Guard says that by mid-March, it will have spent almost $500 million in additional security for the U.S. Capitol since the January 6 attack. In the trial's first day, Democrats laid out their argument for Trump's guilt.
We will prove with overwhelming evidence that President Trump is singularly and directly responsible for inciting the assault on the Capitol.
And argued Trump must face consequences even though he is no longer president.
Presidents can't inflame insurrection in their final weeks and then walk away like nothing happened.
Conviction requires a two-thirds vote of the U.S. Senate. Assuming all 50 Democrats vote to convict, that means 17 Republican senators would also have to find Trump guilty. If Trump is convicted, senators will vote again to decide if he is barred from ever again running for office. His lawyers argue that was the true reason for what they called a politically motivated impeachment.
For a great many Americans see this process for exactly what it is, a chance by a group of partisan politicians seeking to eliminate Donald Trump from the American political scene and seeking to disenfranchise 74 million plus American voters and those who dare to share their political beliefs and vision of America.
The trial, which resumes Wednesday with 16 hours for each side to present arguments and evidence, will run through at least Sunday. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
This news from VOA Asia. A Japanese maritime self-defense force submarine and a commercial ship have collided off Japan's southern coast, causing minor injuries to three crew members of the submarine and damage to its mast, according to defense officials. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, New Zealand is urging disaffected Micronesian members of the Pacific Islands Forum not to quit the organization. A bitter leadership dispute has split the region's main political and economic body. From Sydney, Phil Mercer tells us more.
Speaking in the New Zealand capital, Wellington, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the decision by Micronesian nations to leave the regional forum was regrettable. Australia, too, has urged the parties to settle differences. Founded in 1971, it has 18 members, including Papua New Guinea, French Polynesia, Samoa, New Zealand, and Australia. Experts believe that Palau, the Marshall Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia, Kiribati, and Nauru feel overlooked by larger Melanesian members like Papua New Guinea and Fiji, which are culturally and geographically different. There is bitter disagreement about who should lead the Pacific Islands Forum. Micronesian states from the North Pacific have insisted an agreement to appoint their preferred candidate as the forum's new Secretary General has been broken. Australia and New Zealand are concerned about regional instability. There's also concern that disunity could encourage China to increase its influence over island nations. The archipelago of Kiribati recently swapped its formal diplomatic recognition from Taiwan to mainland China. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
We invite you back for more VOA Asia at the same time tomorrow. In the meantime, join us online at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You'll also find our full-length programs at our website, voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our team, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. Be well.